Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Time for Toker Talk Radio. Phone lines are open at 971-533-7111. You can call in with your questions, comments, complaints, arguments, debates, suggestions, whatever it is. We're here for you. That's what we mean by the voice of the marijuana nation. We are giving you a voice live here on CannabisRadio.com. Every weekday, 4 o'clock Pacific time, or you can call anytime. You can call 24 hours a day. Our studio line here at the Russ Belville Show is 971-533-7111. You can leave a voicemail, and if we like it, we'll play it back. And remember, we especially like callers who disagree. Please call in if you disagree. Folks, I am not a college-educated man. I took some college, but I don't have a college degree. I've learned most of what I know from the school of hard knocks, from going out there, making mistakes, saying stupid things, and getting corrected on them. So if I've said something stupid, call me on it. Give me a call, 971-533-7111. If you disagree, I might learn something. I think that'd be pretty cool. All right, I wanted to play a clip for you. This is coming from Vermont's WPTZ.com. Presidential candidate Bernie Sanders sat down with their reporter and had this to say about marijuana.
His response when we asked about the effort to legalize marijuana in Vermont.
I'm not big into marijuana. I've smoked it twice in my life when I was very young, and the result for me was I did a lot of coughing.
He doesn't like getting high, but he does like the idea of making recreational marijuana legal.
As a candidate for president, what I have said is that it is absurd that marijuana be listed as a Schedule I drug under the Federal Controlled Substance Act, right alongside of heroin. Now, you can argue the pluses and minuses of marijuana. Nobody thinks it is equivalent to heroin. And I have proposed taking it out of the Schedule I. I don't think it should be a federal offense.
He wants to refocus the war on drugs to heroin and opiate addiction. Sanders doesn't think people should have police records for possession of pot, a position that's probably sitting well with his younger supporters. There's no doubt people are feeling the burn.
There we go. So Bernie Sanders on the marijuana issue, and he's never been shy about saying that he has used marijuana, and it just didn't do it for him. And there are plenty of people like that. It's fine, man. Try it. You don't like it. Doesn't work for you. That's great. I mean, scotch doesn't work for me. You know, and that's your thing. You like scotch? Great. Enjoy it. As long as you're not harming me, not harming society, not harming others through your use, you're using responsibly, that's not the problem. That's not a problem. And it's important we recognize when we start talking about this war on drugs that other drugs also can be used responsibly. Yes, we're all upset and worried about this heroin problem for the people who actually have addiction and a dysfunctional relationship with it, but we need to understand that most people that use heroin don't have a problem with it. Most people that use meth or cocaine don't have a problem with it. Now, that's not to say that meth or cocaine or heroin should be legal like marijuana should be legal. Certainly, marijuana should be an over-the-counter product for anyone over the age of 18, as far as I'm concerned. Now, cocaine, marijuana, or cocaine, meth, and heroin, perhaps those require some doctor's interventions. Perhaps those require a little more attention from society, maybe a little more stringent regulation. But like Senator Sanders says, discuss the pluses and minuses of marijuana. Nobody thinks it's equivalent to heroin, and there's no reason it should be regulated as such. All right, we're going to take a break, pay a couple of the bills, and when we come back, a stupid prohibition story. Ah, you know them, you love them, you can't get enough of them. Stick around, we're back in just 2 minutes.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Ganjapreneur.com, your guide to the cannabis business world. Ganjapreneur.com is a comprehensive resource for cannabis professionals and entrepreneurs. Download the Ganjapreneur app on your smartphone or tablet to catch up on cannabis industry news, scroll through our daily job listings, and learn about successful cannabis companies, executives, and investors. Ganjapreneur.com, helping Ganjapreneurs grow.
Being green is good. Growing green is good. Making green is great. CannabisRadio.com.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
I also believe we need a fence. The problem is if El Chapo builds a tunnel under the fence, we have to be able to deal with that too.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
Tommy Chong is ready to cut through the smoke and change the tone of Tilk Radio.
I hope everybody's got their vape pen handy or their pipe or their bong or whatever you use to do your medicine.
But you don't, it's not a requirement. You don't have to be high for this show.
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
I don't know who you're talking to. You have to be high to do anything. At least I do. I don't know about you. In fact, I've been high so long that being straight is another high.
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. It's just about 9 minutes past four here in Boulder City, Nevada. Gonna have myself a good time tonight. I'm headed out to Las Vegas. Gonna go catch a Las Vegas show. Just because I'm in Las Vegas, and why the hell not? I should catch a show. We may be coming to you live from a Las Vegas dispensary on the Strip. Stay tuned for those details. If it happens, it'll happen on Wednesday. Wait a minute. This is... something's coming in on our flux capacitor, ladies and gentlemen.
Stupid prohibition story.
As a public service, the Russ Belville Show reminds you that smoking marijuana does not make one stupid. However, some stupid people do smoke marijuana, and prohibition is always waiting for another victim. Learn your lesson from today's stupid prohibition story.
With your stupid prohibition stories, I'm old-timey 1920s radio reporter Freddie Farrakh. This just in from Clark County, Washington. An Easter egg hunt was underway in a Salmon Creek neighborhood Saturday evening when a man started yelling that his roommates planned to shoot him, according to Clark County authorities. The odd events, according to the Clark County Sheriff's Office, led investigators to making a big pot bust and three arrests. The screaming started about 6 p.m., prompting deputies to respond. Clark County Sheriff Commander John Horse said in a news release that when deputies arrived at the residence, they found a significant amount of marijuana. marijuana, an operation that was not licensed in Washington. Recreational pot is legal in Washington, but selling it from home isn't. The pot selling was done through the home, Horsch said, and investigators believe the weed was sold across the country. Detectives obtained a warrant to search the home and four cars. They found 45 pounds of marijuana, valued at over $202,000. Investigators also seized more than $108,000 in suspected drug profits, documents related to marijuana trafficking, and five cars either used as part of the operation or purchased with drug money. Detectives did not find any guns. Investigators arrested Charles Yorkovich, age 24, Joseph Sullivan, age 24, and Jordan Long, 27, all of Vancouver, on felony drug warrants. I'm Freddie Farrakh with your stupid prohibition story.
Oh my goodness. This is right across from Portland, Oregon, folks. Vancouver, Washington. Man comes out running and screaming during an Easter egg hunt. My roommates are going to shoot me. My roommates are going to shoot me. Okay. Here's a tip. If you're running a cross-country drug trafficking organization, try to find a less attentive way of settling your disputes. Try to work it out without all the screaming in the middle of the Easter egg hunt. Right? What the hell? All these guys, I feel bad for them, but damn, guys. Now, here's one interesting piece, though, right? You got to love it when they give you the cop's view, the prosecutor's charges, when they catch people with weed, right? Did you catch the amount they said the weed was worth? They said they seized 45 pounds of pot valued at $202,000. 45 pounds valued at $202,000. And I'm like, well, how much is that a pound, right? Well, I did the math. I did the math, folks. And that works out to about $4,500 a pound. $4,500 a pound. Now, I don't know where they're selling it to get $4,500 for a pound of weed. But that's what they come up with, $4,488 for a pound. Now, here's what the cops are doing. Cops do this to make it seem like they did a better job. They want to pump up their numbers, right? So they're not going by what these guys were selling the weed for, right? When people are dealing weed at that level, they're dealing in pounds. They're dealing in kilos, right? They're dealing in large amounts, and the buy and sell is done in a large amount. They're not selling it an eighth at a time to people. They're selling it back east for whoever's buying it per pound, and they're buying it wholesale. There's no way they're spending $4,500 a pound wholesale. But if you take that $4,488 pound and you divide it into 16 ounces, and then you divide that 16 each ounce into an eighth, now you're getting it down to $35 an eighth. Now, that might be a reasonable expectation for the price, somewhere, you know, back east, 35 and eighth. But that's a little bit of trickeration, isn't it? When they try to say that, when they say it's valued at 202, that's not what those guys would have made from it. Now, when the investigators said they seized 108,000 in drug profits, the 108,000, that would be a more realistic number for what they'd get for 45 pounds of weed. About 100,000, 100 grand, maybe, right? Weed selling it $2,000 a pound, that's a reasonable wholesale cost, even when we're talking about distributing it to the East or to the Midwest even. So be aware of that. When you hear these stories, whenever they give you a number, we seized X amount of weed valued at Y amount of dollars, do the math. Figure out what they're talking about, because this can be used against them in the future under legalization. There's a very famous case that came through in Colorado, and I believe it was Rob Corey was the attorney behind this. If not, I wouldn't be surprised if it was. And what had happened is the cops had seized this guy's marijuana plants. Oh, it's worse when they do plants, by the way, right? When they seize weed, when they've got grass just in big old bales, right? they do the math on that badly as it is. But when they seize a plant, they'll estimate what they think that plant would have produced, and then they take that number and do the bad math with it, right? So plants always end up being like, oh, this plant's worth $5,000 because this plant would have produced a pound of weed, right? It's a damn seedling. You don't know how much it would have produced. It might have been hermaphroditic. You don't know. Right? You have no idea what that would have produced, but that's what they do. They want to pump it up in the media, make it look like they're these big, you know, marijuana cowboys taking down the big dealers. So there was a case in Colorado where they took these guys' plants, busted them, right? They took his plants and, you know, the cops, they're not like putting them in nurseries or anything. They put them in evidence lockers. They don't water them. They don't get any light, and the plants die. So the guy ends up beating his charges. And so he goes back to the cops, you know, could I have my plants back from the evidence locker? And they're like, well, yeah. And they give him these dried up stalks that are dead, right? And the guy sues the police department, say, hey, you destroyed my property. You didn't care for my property. And the cops say, well, we're not required to care for plants. Well, BS, because now it's legal. Now it's a constitutional right in Colorado. So the attorney, when he's suing for damages, he says, you owe my client, it was like $60,000 or something, because he had 30 plants. You know, 25 or whatever the number was, it was $5,000 a plant. And the cops come back, well, you can't, these were just little tiny seedlings. These, they can't be $5,000 a plant. And that's when Corey pulls out the news reports from the past. Well, let's see here. In 2011, your office seized X number of plants for Y amount of dollars. And you said, and that works out at $5,000 a plant. So are plants worth less now? Well, of course they are to the cops. They're worth less when you're trying to sue them. Yeah, of course they're worth less. So he actually managed to get that to stick. The judge said, you know, tough nuggets, man. You guys said they were worth $5,000 5 years ago. They got to be worth at least that now, right? So yeah, this, keep track of this. Keep track of the math when you hear these stories. And if you are involved in the illegal side of the market, try to keep a low profile. Yeah, I feel bad for these guys. They're 24, 24, and 27. Now, they're probably going to get some felony charges. They'll have to go through plea agreements. They'll be on probation for years, have to take P tests. They'll automatically be disqualified from working in the marijuana industry if they wanted to go legit, which apparently they didn't. But yeah, running and screaming through the kids' Easter egg hunt on the Saturday, that's definitely not good if you're a smuggler. Try to avoid those kind of stupid moves. All right, folks, you're listening to the Russ Belville Show. It's Toker Talk Radio. We're coming to you live from Boulder City, Nevada. We're just outside of Las Vegas. And this is the city that all the federal workers work, or all the workers that built the Hoover Dam, they kind of lived here. So it used to be kind of a federal thing. And now it's an incorporated city and all, but still kind of a hard-ass sort of city when it comes to marijuana, when it comes to those kind of views. So interesting being here in Boulder City. It's been kind of windy today, nice and breezy. Kind of a nice change from being in hot old Phoenix. We'll be bringing you shows here from Boulder City today and tomorrow and Wednesday. Coming up on tomorrow's show, we've got Adam Eidinger. He's the one putting on the April 2nd smokeout at the White House. That'll be happening this Saturday. Wish I could be there. Couldn't come up with enough funds to pull it off. But Adam Eidinger will join us, tell us all about the smokeout happening this Saturday. Also happening this Saturday is the Ann Arbor Hash Bash in Ann Arbor, Michigan. That goes back to the case of John Sinclair when he was busted 10 years for two joints. The John Lennon song, 10 for 2. This is the longest running marijuana protest in the country. Wish I could be there as well. Coming up on Wednesday's show, we've got Doug Fine joining us for our Hemp Day Hump Day update. I'll tell you all about industrial hemp. I'll be off on Thursday, flying back to Portland, Oregon. And then on Friday, we will be joined by Matt from MedX, telling us all about his company. And if you would like to get interviewed here, if you've got a company that needs some exposure on the Russ Belville Show, make sure you reach out to me. I'm Radical Russ everywhere, radicalrus@gmail.com for email.
Look at yourself before you pass judgment.
It's wise news, Mr. President. Wise, wise views. All right, it's 420 here in in Boulder City, Nevada. So I'm going to take our union-mandated smoke break. Although this might be the wrong office to take a union-mandated break. Stay tuned. We're back in just 2 minutes.
CannabisRadio.com keeps you in the know Monday through Friday on air and on demand with Cannabis Radio News, presented with the definitive worldwide news source, the Associated Press. Stay informed with exclusive news on all things cannabis. Cannabis Radio News, live weeknights at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, during the Russ Belville Show, or download the daily podcast exclusively on CannabisRadio.com, as well as iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. When breaking news happens in the cannabis industry, Cannabis Radio News delivers the details first.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Christian convictions are under attack as never before.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
Normal stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Cannabis use isn't the only thing growing. So are we. Grow with us. CannabisRadio.com.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
Pod 2.0. It's not your father's Woodstock weed. This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. 22 after the hour. Hope you had a great safety briefing. It's a nice day here. Nice beginning of this week, this final week of March. And starting in April, that's when all of the marijuana events really start to happen. I always think of the Ann Arbor Hash Bash as kind of the unofficial beginning of our marijuana calendar, if you will. So that's Ann Arbor Hash Bash happening this weekend, and then middle of May. All sorts of stuff going on here in April. There's a CanMed going on in Boston on Sunday and Monday, the 10th and 11th, Medical Cannabis Convention. There's on April 13th, a Wednesday, I'm so looking forward to this, folks. The 420 Games is putting on a thing for Blazers versus Nuggets. That's right, Blazers versus Nugs, dude. The Portland Trail Blazers and the Denver Nuggets playing basketball at the Moda Center in Portland. And we will be there with Cannabis Radio and the Russ Belville Show in the VIP suite with Uncle Spliffy himself, Cliff Robinson, the former Trailblazer star, plus others. Don't miss it. I can't promise you yet that I'll stream live. When you start dealing with the NBA and some of these high-level things, their streaming and broadcasting rights are pretty tied down. If I can, I will. If I can't, I'll record, and you'll hear it on the next day's show. Then, starting Thursday, now this is where the schedule gets crazy. Thursday the 14th through the 16th of April is the Patients Out of Time Conference in Baltimore. Friday the 15th and Saturday the 16th is the Students for Sensible Drug Policy Conference in Arlington, Virginia. That's basically D.C. So you get two major conferences overlapping each other on that weekend. I'm trying to make it to both because one's Baltimore, one's D.C. I think I can cover a little bit of both of them. Then, overlapping the SSDP on Sunday is Mark Kleiman's Cannabis Summit. Mark Kleiman was with Botec. He was the Washington State pot czar. He's calling together the top minds in marijuana reform marijuana science, marijuana research, and the antis. Like Kevin Samet's going to be there, right? A bunch of the antis are going to be there too. So that's going to be fun. That's in New York on the 17th and 18th. And then, of course, the big event, the big international event, the United Nations General Assembly Special Session, 19th through the 21st. That's right. They scheduled a drug session on 420. The 19th through the 21st at the UN building, I will be there as well. Plus, just about every reformer I know is going. I know I just heard Sharon Ravert from Peachtree Normal in Georgia. Of course, Michael Kravitz from Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access and many others. So we'll have tons of interviews for you. April 24th, that's a Sunday, the Oregon Marijuana Business Conference in Eugene, Oregon. I'll be there. Tommy Chong will be there. And Dr. Carl Hart, the superstar, Dr. Carl Hart will be there. And we hope to get an interview with him. In the final week of April, there is the Unity Torch. This is a marijuana, cannabis reform group kind of effort to unite the East Coast marijuana groups. Very important because, you know, West Coast, we've been doing it for so long. They're just getting on board. The Unity Torch will be heading down south, starting from Maine, working its way down. And I believe South Carolina in the first half of that week, like the 25th through 27th kind of. And then Atlanta toward the end of the week. So I'm going to be making my way to South Carolina in the last week of April, visiting Big Daddy Fink down there in South Carolina, my first time ever in the Palmetto State. And then we'll go south down to Atlanta, visit with Sharon Ravert and the folks down there, and maybe speak at a couple of these events. So that's our April calendar of events. If you want to know more, you can go to RadicalRust.com. I think my calendar's up there. I got to do some website updates. I'm not exactly sure if it is up there anymore, but if it's not, we'll get it posted soon. I promise. Anyway, if you missed anything I just said, just email me, radicalrust@gmail.com. I'll point you the right direction. We'll get you to an event. And if you want your event announced on our calendar of events, again, radicalrust@gmail.com. We'll throw it up there on the calendar. We'll get you some exposure. All right, let's get to some marijuana stories here. There's a piece we play, you've heard it, where Dan Michael says, you're not high, you're listening to the Russ Belville Show. And then we have a political clip, and then he says, all right, maybe you're high. And we got that one with Marco Rubio when he talks about, well, if El Chapo builds a tunnel under the fence, we'll have to deal with that. Well, folks, that's the point. When Donald Trump talks about building this wall, right? It's like, have you heard of catapults? Have you heard of ladders? Have you heard of tunnels? It's walls don't work, right? But he wants to build this big wall. Well, in light of that, our Customs and Border Patrol have discovered a sprawling cross-border drug tunnel. This one's going from a home in Calexico, California, and the tunnel leads to a restaurant in Mexicali, Mexico. It's the 12th tunnel they've found so far on the California-Mexico border since 2006. So we find about a tunnel a year going from California to Mexico. And they found in this tunnel 1,300 pounds of weed. And you got to understand, that's this time they found 1,300. How many more pounds have been going through this tunnel for how many years, right? The 12th tunnel they found since 2006, they found more than 75 along the entire U.S.-Mexico border over the last 5 years, California and Arizona, and not all of them completed. So they found 12 of them that are fully functional tunnels, and on top of that, they found at least 75 that, you know, partially completed, some of them in Arizona that were completed. The Calexico property was a $240,000 house, or $240,000 parcel, and then they built a three-bedroom house on it for $86,000. The first shipment in the tunnel occurred on February 28th, they say. So it hasn't been up there that long. 1,350 pounds of marijuana they found in L.A. So let's see, $240,000 plus $86,000, $326,000 to set up your transfer stop. That's just cost of doing business. All right, 1,350 pounds of marijuana, right? All right. And remember, cops say that a pound of marijuana is $4,500, right? So $4,500, let's do the math, folks. $4,500 times your 1,350 pounds is $6 million. So, yeah, you're going to put down $386,000 on a piece of land in Calexico in a house, and you've more than made up for that in your first shipment through the tunnel. Now, of course, there's expenses in building the tunnel, too. And you got to have the land on the other side of Mexico, too. I think you could pull it off for $6 million. I think $6 million might cover it. And that's one shipment. That's to show you how futile this is to think that you can repeal the law of supply and demand. People in America want weed. People in Mexico have weed. They want to sell it. And this is a tunnel for weed, could just as easily be a tunnel for meth. And Mexican methamphetamine production has skyrocketed since the United States has put together all sorts of barriers to acquiring pseudoephedrine and all sorts of task force to go after meth labs and such. So now Mexican meth can go through those tunnels. And if you can get a bale of marijuana and a bunch of meth through a tunnel, you can get people through those tunnels too. So these ideas, these xenophobic ideas of building walls to keep people out. And by the way, when governments build walls to keep people out, they oftentimes turn into walls to keep people in. Don't forget that part. But it's still futile. There's just too much money to be made in building the tunnels and too much demand to get drugs and human beings through them for this to ever stop. Now, this one particular tunnel they just busted was a 300-yard tunnel. 300-yard tunnel. Ran from the El Serape Mexican restaurant in Mexico. 300 yards through Mexico and then another 100 yards into the U.S. into a house in Calexico, which is a city of about 40,000 people, 120 miles east of San Diego. And according to Laura Duffy, from she's the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of California, she says, quote, "This house and tunnel were constructed under the watchful eye of law enforcement. For the builders, the financiers, and the operators of these passageways, there is no light at the end of the tunnel. We will seize your drugs and your tunnel before you even have a chance to use it." So you got that? They knew they were building the house and the tunnel. They let them build the house and the tunnel so that they could bust them for building the house and the tunnel and shipping the drugs through it. They just let it occur. Go ahead and dig and okay. So how has that stopped anyone from building other tunnels when you were watching this tunnel? You just happen to be watching this one, but they're building other ones. For every one that you're catching, there's at least two others out there that you have no idea about. Now they're saying this is related to Sinaloa cartel. Sinaloa cartel is the murderous, torturing, beheading cartel that controls the border traffic in the Imperial Valley of California. Of course, that is your main trafficking points to Los Angeles and to Phoenix. And Sinaloa, that's the cartel El Chapo was the head of before they captured him in January. And, of course, we're talking about these cartels that are literally beheading people and think nothing of pulling up a big dump truck in the middle of rush hour traffic, lifting the truck and dumping out headless bodies in rush hour in Monterey to make their point that they can't be stopped. When I continue to hear these opponents of marijuana legalization try to scare me with the specter of big marijuana, this big marijuana, it's going to become the Walmart of weed. It's going to be like Marlboro and Budweiser, and they're going to have commercials, and it's going to be big marijuana is coming. And I think, I'm not afraid of big marijuana. I'm afraid of the current big marijuana that chops people's heads off. That's a big, they're big marijuana. That's who big marijuana is right now, is the Sinaloa cartel, is El Chapo, is your street corner dealer. All levels of the people involved in the prohibition trade are the current big marijuana. They're the current big marijuana that doesn't pay taxes, that doesn't card kids, that doesn't take their disputes to court. They're the big marijuana that kills and maims and keeps the price of marijuana artificially high, artificially high enough that you can afford to buy $386,000 worth of land, put up a house, and dig a tunnel. Nobody's doing that for Dos Equis. Nobody's doing that for Patron, right? You don't see Corona and Dos Equis fighting it out in the street for turf. You don't see Patron and Jose Cuervo battling each other and chopping each other's heads off because they're legal substances. Even though they're far more dangerous substances than the marijuana we're talking about. How is it in this society we figured out how to commoditize and corporatize the worst substance there is? And I'm not saying there's not problems with the way we deal with alcohol, but we found that that was preferable. Even the terrible alcohol system we have now, whatever you think about it, is preferable to Al Capone. That only took us 13 years to learn. This lesson's taking us 80. It's like America's getting dumber or something. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back in just 2 minutes.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestea trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
We don't limit how much you smoke, and we don't limit where you listen. Cannabis Radio is now on iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
I do not like them, Sam. I am. I do not like green eggs and ham.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
Tommy Chong is ready to cut through the smoke and change the tone of Tilk Radio.
Hope everybody's got their vape pen handy or their pipe or their bong or whatever you use to do your medicine.
But you don't. Important. It's not a requirement. You don't have to be high for this show.
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
I don't know who you're talking to. You have to be high to do anything. At least I do. I don't know about you. In fact, I've been high so long that being straight is another high.
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
I have a package here for Radical Rick. Is there a Radical Rick here? How about a Rick Russ? Any Rick Russ? Somebody named Freddie Farrakh has sent him a package? Anybody? What is that? Sounds like a skunk. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back. 38 after the hour. Actually, 39 after the hour, and coming to you live from Boulder City, Nevada. Going to make my way into Las Vegas tonight. Going to go catch a show. I figured I deserved a show. I figured it was nice. I work hard. I do a lot of travel. I kind of took it easy on myself this time. I actually flew first class here from Phoenix. And I never, ever fly first class. I never do it. I'm always in coach, man. But this one time, you know, I was checking in for the flight. And I had to check in a bag, right? Bag cost $25. Asked me if I want to upgrade to first class for $50. I'm like, okay, I'll spend the extra money. I'll spend the extra $25 to sit in a human-sized seat. Wow, what a difference it makes flying. I might get addicted to this. This might be my indulgence, folks. I might have to fly more first class. My goodness. drinks as often as you want them. Here, drink. Leg room, a seat you can actually sit in that's comfortable. Oh, I'm being corrupted, folks. I'm being corrupted. I don't think so. I can't afford that. I can't afford first class. This is one time. Indulge me just this one time, people. Oh my goodness. There's a great story up on Leafly that I wanted to bring up that references one of my favorite dispensaries back in Portland, Oregon, and that would be Nectar. Nectar has a few locations. I used to visit the one on Northeast Portland in Sandy Boulevard. Here they're speaking with Tyson Dieter, who's a manager at their Southwest Portland Nectar office. And this is all about cannabis scent, the odor, right? And it's a really interesting thing. It's interesting to me because I don't have much sense of smell. I'm partially nose blind, if there is such a thing, right? I can't smell very well. I blame this on white powders in the 90s, but I just don't smell very well, okay? So when I'm going to buy weed, you know, and in Oregon, when you're buying weed, they've got it in bulk in the jars, like they do in California and Colorado. So you can just open the jar and stick your face down in there. Ah, it smells good, right? In Washington, you can't do that. So right off the bat, I want to kind of talk about how, as we're legalizing marijuana, there are some things that we ought to be doing from the consumer's perspective, okay? And one thing we ought to do is the consumer ought to be able to see and smell what they're buying. Washington State requires all of the retailers to prepackage what they sell. So this has two problems. The problem of the smell and being able to see it, that's one, and we'll come back to that. The other problem is that all of the packages are prepackaged. So they come in 1 gram, 2 gram, 3.5 gram, 7 gram, 14 gram, 28 gram, right? They're prepackaged. So what if you want, you know, 3/4 of an ounce? Well, you have to buy a 14 gram and a 7 gram, right? You can't just buy 3/4 of an ounce. What if you want to buy a 1/2 ounce? But they're all out of the 14-gram packages. Well, then you got to buy 2 7s or 4 3.5s. And, of course, the smaller package sizes cost more, just like they do back in the black market world where an 1/8 costs more than an ounce does, you know, by weight. So that kind of sucks. Washington has kind of established this system that takes you back to the black market where you can't, you know, where it costs you more as you buy it smaller and it forces you to buy it smaller than what you'd like to buy. So that's a big problem with Washington. And then again, the problem, you can't smell it beforehand. It's all in these pre-sealed packages. On the other hand, let's go back to Oregon and the other states. I think they allow a little too much leniency in that when I'm smelling my face in the jar of the weed, so has everybody else's face been in that jar of weed. I don't know what's fallen out of their beard or their nose or their eyelashes or whatever. And that's the jar of weed you're going to pick weed out of and sell to me? So I think there's a middle ground here. I think the middle ground is every strain that you're selling ought to have a sample jar. And the sample jar has got enough in it, 1/2 ounce maybe, enough in it so you can get a good look at what the product looks like, and enough you can smell it, but that sample jar is not going to get sold to anybody because I don't want to worry about your boogers or whatever fell into the weed. That's the way we got to make that happen. So with respect to the smell of the marijuana, then, this article is really aimed at California, Colorado, Oregon, Alaska, places, Michigan, I think you can also get bulk marijuana at the dispensaries, Nevada, I think, Arizona, whatever, but the places where you can get bulk marijuana. So this guy, Tyson Dieter, who's writing this article, tells us that he's a home perfumer, that he's a self-taught perfumer, and he's got a world-class nose. And he trained using these workbooks from some other world-class perfumer. And of course there's such a thing, right? Of course there's people that have these super noses for testing perfume. And so he talks about, in this article, what do cannabis and perfumes have in common? And he says there's a whole lot to it. And first of all, when we talk about scent, he says that you have top notes, middle notes, and bass notes. And what they refer to is the relative evaporation rates. You know, so like a top note is one that you smell immediately, but it evaporates soon, whereas the bass note is the one that lingers. You don't catch it at first, but you smell it as you continue to smell it. So he makes all these references to this, but notes how the cannabis world, we haven't evolved our language yet to explain what these things are. So he says, you may see two main often contrasting odors, sweet and fruity, paired with earthy, like an afghui. Some strains are more fragrant than others. And then, you know, there's the diesel smells and the different pine type of smell and lemon type of smell that are all related to the particular terpenes in the cannabis plant. So this is something that he feels in this article, he feels like we need to be educating our community a little bit more now that we're going to have more standardized strains and more brand awareness to be able to describe accurately what we're experiencing, like people who describe perfumes. And I'm just tickled that we're at this level, right? But I always say, you know, I'm from Idaho where we had two strains, got some and don't. And when you were smelling it, you were just smelling it to see if it was weed. like, does it smell like something that could reasonably be considered to be marijuana? Okay, that's weed. Now we're getting at a level where we're talking like bass notes and heart notes. And and there's always an aspect, there's always a part of me that thinks of it like the wine snobs when they talk about how earthy and fruity. And then the Mythbusters people give them, you know, $2 chuck in an expensive bottle, and they make all this excuse about how great it is, and it's really just $2 chuck. I think there may be some level of that in the marijuana community as well, right? But generally speaking, I think he's on to something here. I think he's on to this idea that we really should develop our scent of vocabulary to be able to better express this, especially at the bud tender level. This is where, you know, we need bud tending needs to be more than just someone who likes weed. Who wants to have a job selling it. I mean, this is a customer service position. And when we're talking about newbies, especially in these states that freshly legalized, you're going to have a lot of marijuana tourists who don't know what they're getting, know what's going on. We need well-educated bud tenders to be able to lead them through these things, to explain what these things mean. And the other part about this is how we consume marijuana. The various cannabinoids in the cannabis plant evaporate. They have different vaporization levels that are achieved at different temperatures, right? And this applies to the terpenes as well. When you're flaming a bud, when you're flaming flower, that combustion level, that heat level is high enough to burn off a lot of the lower level terpenes that boil at a lower temperature. So smoking is like the least effective way of discovering this scent bouquet, this entourage of different effects from the terpenes and the cannabinoids. And this is where vaporization comes in. With vaporization, especially the higher end, you know, spend about $250 or more, these higher end vaporizers, you can dial in the temperature. And there are guides out there. You can find them on the internet. I think some of the better books have them now, that will show you what are the various vaporization points of the cannabinoids and the terpenes involved. And you can experiment. So you apply some home science to this. Take your bud, grind it up, turn your vaporizer to 295 and try some vapor off that. Compare that to what happens when you vape it at 305. You might find that you pull more of the pine terpene in, or you may pull more of the lemon terpene in. And experiment with this and find out where it works best for you, because the experience from cannabis isn't just which strain you're using, but also how you're using it. And the vaporization can give you much more variety of where you're going to dial that in to fit your needs, to fit what works for you and what sensations you like to feel and tastes you like to experience. I've dealt with tokers who've been there since the day, right? They go back to Woodstock, back to the day. who've never experienced some of these things because they were always smoking. They're always joint smokers or bong smokers or pipe smokers. You get them, get a vaporizer in their hand, and a good one with someone who knows what they're doing and what temperatures to set it at, it can open up a whole new world of experience of cannabis that they've just have burned off. They've always burned it off. They've never gone to that area of cannabis experience. So this is, I highly recommend this article. Of course, you know, I do most everything highly, but it's on Leafly. It's called Cannabis Sense and Sensibility, Why Marijuana's Fragrance is a Feast for the Nose. So if this interests you, and you can email me, if you can't find it, email me, I'll send you the link, because this, they've got a really good list here. In fact, they've got a link to the infographic, and there we go. There's a great infographic they link to that shows you the different different terpenes, myrcene, carophyllene, linalool, pinene, humulene, limonene, and their boiling points. This is a great reference. They even show you some of the strains that are dominant in some of those particular characteristics. It's at leafly.com. And again, if you have trouble finding it, you can just email me, radicalruss@gmail.com. I'll be glad to pass this information on. Now, we got to take a break. And don't forget, coming up at the top of the hour, and I should have been mentioning this more, bad host. But Stoner Jesus comes to you live from Stoner Heaven to save your stony soul. That's coming up at 5 o'clock Pacific Time, 8 o'clock Eastern. Stoner Jesus here on CannabisRadio.com, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. When we come back, we'll close up shop, give you a preview of tomorrow's show, and just generally call it a day. Thanks for joining us. We're back in just 2 minutes. Stick around.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Tommy Chong Show on Cannabis Radio. You know, about this podcast, what I really want to do from now on is to solve world problems. I feel like my job is to calm everybody down and focus on how we can save this planet.
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
And if standing for the Constitution make you a wackobird, then I am a very, very proud wackobird.
Okay, maybe you're high, too.
NORML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Maui Wowie. Acapulco Gold. California Kush. Our strains stretch everywhere, too.
This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
With over 6 years of experience in the industry, New Era CPAs is one of the nation's leading cannabis accounting firms, helping hundreds of growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies with their tax, legal, and business strategies. New Era CPAs offices cover the West Coast from Seattle to San Diego, and their skilled team is always available to help you take your business to the next level. Visit neweracpas.com for more info and set up a consultation. Welcome to the New Era.
Hello, Mr. Man. Hi. I'm working. I'm sorry. No food till this is done.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. 54 and a half after the hour. Stoner Jesus is coming up at the top of the hour live on CannabisRadio.com, so stay tuned for that. In political news, apparently the latest bickering between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. Bernie wants to have a debate in New York State. Now, Bernie's from Brooklyn, and Hillary represented New York because, you know, she spent, like, however much time there. Anyway, so she's way ahead in the polls in New York. And of course, New York has a ton of these Democratic delegates that Bernie wants to get. And Bernie knows the more people, the more exposure, the more chance he might have. So, of course, she does not want to have a debate. And the latest news is that she said she doesn't like Bernie Sanders' tone. So she doesn't want to debate because he's got the wrong tone. It's like, okay. Yeah. Or maybe you just don't want to have any more debates because you keep going down in the polls. It's just frustrating as hell. But we will watch it if there is such a debate. And if there's not, we'll hope that more people get the message of the one presidential candidate out there. You know what? Let me strike that. Let me be fair. Gary Johnson's running for president on the Libertarian Party. And Gary Johnson is as pro-marijuana legalization as Bernie Sanders is. So let's be fair. We got two presidential candidates out there. And latest on that, by the way, Gary Johnson's polling in double digits against Hillary and Trump. When they do a hypothetical three-way poll, he gets like 11%. Now, the reason why this can be significant is because under the crazy-ass duopoly party rules about presidential debates, you know, the Republicans and Democrats control these things. In order to keep the third parties out of these debates, they make this arbitrary rule that you got to get 15% in X number of polls or better to be considered a reasonable candidate to dare to be up there with the Republican and the Democrat. Well, he's getting 11%. So he gets a few more of these, get that up in the 15% range. We could actually have a Libertarian, a Republican, and a Democrat up on the stage. And I would pay good money to see that. That would be so much fun. It's about time we had more than just, you know, this side and that side of the same coin up on the stage. Get somebody with some real different points of view. And you know me, I don't agree with Gary Johnson on all issues, right? We got our disagreements. But by and large, I agree with his intent and his principle, okay? And to have someone with transparency and principle would be a mass improvement over either of the two major party candidates that we've had over generations now, right? Like, I may disagree with some of the things that Gary Johnson thinks, but I know he came to those decisions through rational thought, not because he was paid to think those things by some corporation or some entity that wants to get something out of them. That's what I think people are yearning for. And I think why Gary Johnson's going to take off. I think a lot of the reason people flock to Bernie Sanders is they don't agree with everything he says either, but they believe that he believes it, that it's not bought and paid for by the political system. This is the change election this year. People are into, we want to change the system. That's why the Trump people are all upset. That's why the Bernie people are upset, just from different perspectives. But they're upset about the same thing, a bought and paid for system that doesn't work for the people. Oh, you know me, I got on my political stump again. Thanks for listening, though. We got to call it a day. Stoner Jesus is up next. I'm Radical Russ for everyone here at CannabisRadio.com. Take care of each other, tokers. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.